The winner of The Celebrity Apprentice is... Lisa Gay.
Wow, Lisa wins to the shock of it all, but I honestly wasn't shocked at all. Welcome to the Celebrity Apprentice Recap. I'm Dan, and joining me tonight on the road is Joey. Joey, how the hell are you?
I'm a little frozen. I'm also excited. I'm thrilled that Lisa won. I also had some issues with her winning. I think it was an awesome moment, and it was a really interesting ending to the show. And I really can't wait to get into all this stuff.
Okay, now before we do, I just want to explain something to the folks who tune into this show on a regular basis. Maybe you watch the video version that we do that's on YouTube. If we do, we thank you for that. Joey is actually traveling across country and has been nice enough to stop in. This is how important Celebrity Apprentice is. Joey has stopped in at a hotel in the middle of, where are you exactly?
I'm a little bit west of Indianapolis, actually, right now. A little place called Terre Haute.
All right, so Joey is in blah, 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 Indiana right now, huddled up in a hotel room because he's so excited to discuss what went down on The Celebrity Apprentice. So now, I was not surprised in the slightest that Lisa won. It seemed like it was predetermined from the start, and even though they kept trying to fool us here and there, like to me, it never wavered that it was going to be Lisa. You know, let me ask you this. Did you think that Geraldo was going to win the fundraising?
Well, you know, I believe I mentioned this a couple times, and I may have put it in the power rankings. So I'm not actually sure if I did or not in the last version. But, you know, I feel like his, you know, Geraldo's fundraising prowess has really been talked about a lot. And I've never really been truly, truly convinced because, As a person who's been around for so many years, so many decades, and has interviewed so many people, the only people that we've seen Geraldo get funds from are from the Fox people. So, like, it's the people that are in his life at the moment. He's not getting funds from people back in the 90s and in the 80s and in the 70s, these long-time connections. So I've been wondering if he, you know, if he tapped those people out. I just wasn't sure what to think about that. So I wasn't surprised, but you know, I think I was surprised by Lisa being able to get some of the money that she did, and you know, ultimately that was a big, obviously that was a big push for her.
Well, you know, the way that they showed that part of it, and I'm totally jumping ahead because we're going to start at the beginning of what went on in the finale. But what they were showing from even last week is Lisa getting some money, and she was at six figures immediately. She had great checks come in immediately, and we saw pretty much almost no fundraising from Geraldo, you know, or at least nothing in terms of how much money was coming in. We knew that he was talking to people, and that Ian was talking to people as well. And yep. Then when we saw checks coming in from the Fox News guys, it was a little chintzy. You know, Bill O'Reilly ponied up $15,000 at crunch time. Like, these were the checks that he got, $15,000. One was seven.
Yeah.
And
I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, you posted that in our Facebook group accordingly. I'm not sure that I would agree. I think you're being a little bit harsh because he's tapping the same people that he's tapped, you know, twice already. So, you know... if Bill O'Reilly gave $15,000 today, I know that in the last one, Bill O'Reilly gave $10,000, and I think he gave something in the first time around. So if that's chintzy to you, in your eyes, then I guess it is. But to me, it's not like, you know, it's not like they didn't give nothing. They just kept having to give and give and give. That's what I thought.
I'm sure, you know, it would be nice if we had a tally of what they gave that first time around. And then let's see. Because, all right, so if Bill O'Reilly gave $10,000 the last time and then $15,000 this time, yeah, Bill O'Reilly, you're being chintzy because I know you got some deeper pockets than that, Pally. Here's my theory, right? I have a theory on this already. And that is okay. Is that Geraldo on Fox News is, you know, he's a little bit of the oddity on Fox News. He is not a standard conservative guy. So I think... all of the Fox News guys decided, well, you know what? Yeah, all right, Geraldo, here you go. Here in the finale, yeah, I only got $7,000 this time. Sorry. That's what I think. I think they wanted to see him fail. I'm putting it out there.
They wanted to fail.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's rough.
Yeah, that's right.
No. I'll give you this, but see, he definitely is sort of a fish out of water on that network, you know. But he definitely, you know, here's what we've always known about Geraldo. He is this lone wolf kind of guy, and he's very proud of that, you know. And, you know, but when it's time to, like, build the team, work with others, you know, go back to your past relationships, all those things failed him, and that ultimately led to his failure in winning this, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. No, wait a second, though. Wait a second. The head of Fox News. The head of Fox.
$10,000.
Now tell me that guy doesn't have deeper pockets. Come on.
No. They all have deeper pockets.
All right,
and
then.
What you have to think is, like, you know, here's the way to look at it, Danny, is if it was Bill O'Reilly in Geraldo's place, how much would everybody else have given? If it was Sean Hannity, how much would everybody else have given?
Oh, you're giving me great ideas, you know, right now, by the way. All right. Keep going.
That's how I feel. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Bill O'Reilly, if Sean Hannity came in with $25,000, you know, and if it was Bill O'Reilly, if the president or Bill's boss, you know, comes in with $40,000 or $50,000. I don't know that, but that's sort of what I think. So I'm supporting what you're saying
mm-hmm.
on some level. I don't think that they had it in for Geraldo, but I just don't think that they feel the love for him, you know, in a natural way. Like, they don't feel like he's one of their brothers, I guess. That's sort of what I feel like.
Yeah, that's probably right, and I'm probably having a little bit of fun with it, but I'm still going with my theory. But let me ask you this. I'm going to take you to the beginning of the show, in which Trump announces, we've now raised over $15 million. And then it's like, wow, that's amazing. But I don't know that that's as impressive as it should be. I mean, it's $15 million for charity. That's great. But it's $15 million that's been broken up among, like, I don't know, 20 different charities by now, because everyone's winning a different one in different weeks. And it's how many years? Are you impressed by that
number? That's what I was going to get to.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's not this season. Right. And I don't think he actually said, unless I missed it, I don't think he actually said, like, he almost made it sound like it was from this season, right?
Well, I had heard him. No, I'm pretty sure he said since we've started, it's been over 15 million. I've been hearing him say 15 million, like, I want to say maybe the last week or so. And then at the beginning of this one, he said over, because I'm guessing he's including whatever came in tonight. So it's, you know, 15 and a half. Or whatever it is that you want to put at it. It's like 15 and a half right now. Like, honestly, I'm not that impressed by that. And I suppose I should be, but I don't think it's that impressive at all.
Yeah, I think you should be. I it's fair to say that there could be, well, so this is the seventh season of Celebrity Apprentice.
Yes.
And each time out, you know, there's like, what, 20 contestants? Each time out, is that about right?
It seems like that, sure. It's 18 or 20. I don't know what it is. It's enough.
It's over 100, you know. So let's say it's like 100 and... Let's just say that there's 100 different charities because that have gotten their beaks wet. Because some of these celebrities have, have double dips, right? You know, somebody represents the same charity as somebody else.
Right.
So... Let's say it's 100 different charities. You divide that by 15 million. I don't know. It's still a fair amount of money that they weren't getting before.
Well, that's true. You're right. It is better than the nothing. So yes, that's true. But I don't know. I mean, I'm just looking at it as, here's Donald Trump, who is a guy who purports himself as Mr. Business, Mr. Millionaire, Billionaire, Mr. Money. And it's $15 million over 7 years. And Well,
here's another way to look at it, Danny, is that out of those 100 charities, probably like 15 of them have gotten the lion's share of that. Right?
Right, yes.
You know, like,
yes.
Right. So then those are the top 10 or 15 charities, they've gotten quite a bit of money. you know, they've gotten, you know, $1 million or close to $1 million each or something like that. And then you can't say that that's chump change.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's what I think. Here's what I think. The ending, right? Whoever wins at the end, Lisa Gibbons, she won the last task. And what she got on top of whatever she raised was another $250,000. I think that should be bigger. I think at the end, you know, that charity should get $1 million. You know, put $1 million on there at the end. And now it's like, oh my God, we're getting $1 million in this one shot. And now you've added $7 million over the 7 years, and you're, oh, you know, 20-something million. You know, you're at $22 million.
So you're saying that Trump should just throw the money in on his own?
Absolutely, he should throw the money in on his own. That's correct.
Perhaps your set wasn't working as well as mine was, but I'm pretty sure that I saw in the audience his entire family there. You know, the man's got people to take care of, okay?
Yeah, he does. Yes, he does. He's got a man. How many kids has he got? He got a kid.
I don't know.
Really young, like really young. He's got a kid. Oh my goodness!
I know.
And he's got a wife that looks like I don't like. She just got out of college or something. Like she just graduated.
Yeah. So anyway, though, moving on. Let's go back to, you know, how this show broke down.
Yeah, let's get into it. So what we had on Lisa's side. We had basically Kevin Jonas taking control and keeping them ahead of schedule.
Yep.
And Lisa's attitude was this for this was, OK, you know what? I'm just going to run with Kevin. Kevin's going to be the director. I'm going to let him direct. And we're going to make sure that that Brandy and Johnny don't do things like have this conversation.
You know, the best way to make hot dogs.
They're going to make sure that doesn't happen anymore. And everything will be everything. And for the most part, that's pretty much how it was. Like, it was pretty smooth on the Lisa side as far as filming their commercial for Universal, correct?
It was, but I have to tell you, though, that I didn't like, and I'll probably hit this theme again. I think that Lisa did not get banged for this. She should have gotten hammered a little bit for this because those two people were ineffective and useless for her. And, you know, I don't really approve of the way that she handled it. And, you know, look, if she had come clean in the boardroom, not to say that she hid it, because I don't think that she hid it, but if it was revealed in the boardroom that those two people, Johnny and Brandy, did absolutely nothing to help, absolutely zero to help, then I think you'd have to at least go, well, wait a minute, Lisa, you're supposed to be in charge of stuff here. So what did she do when you start thinking about it, right? She let those two idiots do nothing. And then after that, she let Kevin Jonas do whatever he wanted with the video production, right? So I felt like Kevin Jonas won this almost more than she did tonight. So what do you think about that?
Well, listen, I'll tell you what. She won on the video, right? So that's definitely part of it.
Yeah, but the video was done by Kevin.
And the video was done almost entirely by Kevin. Without Kevin,
right.
I don't know how good that video is. So you are correct.
Yep.
All she really did was add a voiceover to it. And, you know, she pretty much did whatever it was that Kevin needed. You know, she became his assistant.
She participated in the editing part. That's where I saw her. But, like, in terms of deciding what the shots were going to be and the order and all that stuff, you know, she just let Kevin do whatever he wanted to do. And it made me wonder as I was watching this episode. And, you know, I've been the biggest fan of Lisa from very early on. But in this episode, I just didn't see in this task that she did a lot. I mean, she did, well, you know, outside of fundraising, she did a good job there. And she brought in Olivia Newton-John and all that stuff. But in terms of actually running the task, you know, it didn't come to light. You know, at least to Trump, how little she was involved in all of the different aspects and how she ran the team. And that should have been revealed more, I think. And then you could still judge her whether you like it or you don't like it. You could say, hey, you know, that actually was the best way to, you know, to manage those two clowns, to give them jobs that don't mean anything. Right?
Right.
And then let
right.
Mr. Ego go ahead and, you know, run the whole video. That was brilliant, Lisa. You know, maybe, but like, I wish that had come out, and I kind of think it didn't.
Well, all right, first of all, it totally didn't, but it's because she won. Like, if this had happened, say, a few weeks ago, and then the other teammates had something on the line, like they were still in the game, maybe that would come up. Maybe Trump would needle them a little more and start prodding and saying, well, how do you feel Lisa did? And did Lisa do enough as a project? You know, he would start pushing those buttons.
Right.
But because it was the last task, all that mattered was the end result. So that's why she...
I guess so, but when you look at the, when you look at how this was a very puffy episode, like, this, in fact, this is this episode is a direct contradiction to all the others. All the others have been so heavily packed that we've been annoyed by the fact that they've had, you know, two episodes, well, essentially two tasks every week, right, and cutting out a lot of the fun, you know, cool stuff that we might have been able to see in between, you know, interactions between people and so forth. But tonight, you know, man, I know you were, we were both talking about it in our Facebook group tonight.
Yep.
You know, how, you know, it's 9:15. Is this thing going to end at 9:30?
Yeah, like,
I know. There was nothing else to do. They took care of PhoneGate pretty quickly. And then it's like, what else are you going to do? And I actually wondered, just like you did, and it was a legitimate wondering on my part, is this thing really going to be 90 minutes? And then what are they going to do from 9:30 to 10? I was like already going there, you know? So I think that they could have done, you know, he could have tried more out of Lisa when, you know, in that respect. Like there was, he just didn't know that there was a little bit of gold to mine at that point. And I think you could also argue that he doesn't want to like start like being overly critical because all he wants to do with those two finalists is just praise them all day long, right?
Yeah, and that's pretty much what happened. You know, even though Geraldo is clearly a target based on his, you know, inflated ego and just unquestionable arrogance that's all around, which I find to be highly entertaining, by the way. Highly entertaining. Honestly, listen, I'll tell you right now, if it's up to me, Geraldo made this season, he made it. It was worth watching because of him. You know, whether he was being a total ass or whether he was being cool, I honestly believe, and you know, he made the case for it himself at the end. You know, when they're both sitting there.
Oh, that's right.
And he started tossing out all of the things. Hey, you know what? Look, I brought the Geraldo to you. I brought all of the crazy things. I brought Screw the Terrorists. And I, you know, he brought out. And he dropped out all the silly things that he said. And I started thinking about it. I was like, you know what? If he's going for, like, entertainment value and all of that. And also, just think about this, right? Because they did announce that there's going to be another season of Celebrity Apprentice, which means the only thing that the actual Celebrity Apprentice ever does is they come back the next season, and then they sit next to Trump, and then they toss out judgments or questions or prod. And who would be better at that job? Would you rather see Lisa there being polite to everybody, or would you rather see Geraldo there being an arrogant jerk to whatever suckers are on the other side of the table? What's more fun?
Well, no, you're right. And that's been the issue with her. I think that's why she didn't rise to the forefront early on, because she was just she's always just been too nice. But, you know, people that are too nice are often, you know, they're exposed at the end, you know, because they've been playing nice and they're not actually really what they seem to be. But Lisa played that role from beginning to end, and she seems to be that person, right? Like, that's what that's what everybody said over and over. And in the end, you know, what Trump probably got out of this, and he didn't play it that well, but it was sort of like the black hat versus the white hat in the end, don't you think?
Yeah, it totally was. I don't think he had any choice but to pick her. Maybe if Geraldo had won the last task, it would have ticked in his favor. But, you know, she did have that record that they tossed out there where she was 8-3.
Oh, they sure did.
And he was 4-7. And also, I also look at it this way, Joey, is that a number of times, whenever they were having conversations or whatnot, Geraldo went first, and then Lisa got to go last. And I always think that going second, you know, you're leaving the better impression. So, well, Geraldo went up there and said, hey, listen, I brought the Geraldo. Lisa got to go after and top it, you know. And she said, listen, here's my record, and one of your wins was because of me, by the way, when I joined your team. You know, she got to have
That was a phenomenal moment, though. I mean, when she got that moment to talk about herself, you're right that there's an advantage there by going second, but she just rocked it. She just killed it.
Oh, she totally killed it.
She did what Geraldo does to everybody else.
Geraldo. She killed it, and you know, she could have like dropped the mic and walked off the stage at that point. She totally killed it. She absolutely did. But and there's also the aspect of, well, now there's nothing to be said. Now it's just going to be what Trump has to say. So maybe if you're, you know, if you do it the other way, she still says that. Maybe Geraldo's rebuttal resonates more, and maybe he has something to react to. But you know, but because it is black hat, white hat, we're given the white hat the last word there. And yes, she absolutely crushed it. No question about it. But you know, let's get back to Geraldo's side. His video, his commercial, where it was him starring as Geraldo, and he's taking the kids and letting them find the hero within or whatever. And you know,
inner hero.
Yes, thank you. Find your inner hero. And we were left with that silly cliffhanger last week of whether they'll get the kids or not. And then Geraldo decided to take over directing, and basically it's something like,
once Lorenzo conceded that I was in charge, the whole day went smoother.
And it's such a great way to put it. But it from what we saw, that was pretty much it. Everything pretty much went smooth from there on out. There wasn't any real issues, right?
I think that's kind of what you said once to somebody else about this podcast that you and I do. You don't know that I heard that, but I heard something like that once from you.
Wait, what did I say?
You said something about that this podcast would go a lot smoother once I knew, Joey knows, that Danny's in charge.
Oh, see, what you don't... That quote is actually me saying it. I've just changed out your name for Lorenzo.
Once Lorenzo conceded that I was in charge, the whole day went smoother.
That's actually my voice. I'm just tweaked it a little bit.
Hey, how about when Geraldo's talking about himself early in the episode, and he says, you know, I'm hoping that the fans will see, or Trump will see, you know, this very familiar face. Some would say an almost iconic figure. Do you remember that?
Yes. Well, you know, and he also wants to point out this little fact to you.
I've showed that an old guy can still get it up.
What?
Oh, yes.
All right, now, one of two things is going on here. He's either saying exactly what it sounds like, or he's being stupid and he doesn't realize that he's, you know, saying it that way. What do you think?
I think it's the former. I think he's saying it knowing how that comes out.
Okay.
But he's also trying to say, hey, yeah, I'm still alive. You know, like, that's his way, his sort of, you know, TV graphic way of saying, hey, I still got it.
That
would be my theory.
I see. So he's Ralph Malph here. He's letting you know that I still got it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
I still got it.
I need to find a mustier reference than Ralph Malph before the show's over. Yeah. All right. So I should say this was kind of neat. When they were finished filming, Geraldo let the other people actually do the editing. He let Ian and Lorenzo and Vivica all just sit around and, you know, sit around the editing bay with the editing guy and let them, like, have at it while he was on the phone calling for a performer. He pulls Tony Orlando out of a hat. Now, speaking of musty references, when he pulled up Tony Orlando and he got excited by it, I was thinking, oh, really? Tony, this is what we're doing? From Branson, this is where we're going to the Branson crowd with Tony Orlando. Were you impressed when he got Tony Orlando?
No. I want to make sure that I say this properly to convey my actual feelings here, that I actually love Tony Orlando, but I'm not thinking that this is really fun and exciting to bring in this, you know, nearly 70-year-old guy whose heyday was you know, is nearly, you know, well, it's more than 40 years ago, almost 50 years ago. You know, his heyday is from like 70 to 73 or something like that, you know. But I kind of felt the same way that Lisa did the week before. You know, she's bringing in Olivia Newton-John. And I don't dislike Olivia or Tony.
Right.
And, you know,
yes.
If you check my music bin, you're going to find all sorts of stuff that I have by them. But I'm not thinking like you bring them in now to impress people and get people excited. I feel like they both did the same thing. They just brought in some old person, you know, to sing one song and not really like sing it in an impressive way. Right? Like,
yes.
You know, it's just it's like,
yes.
You might as well have been like the third grade, you know, music teacher sitting at the piano while Tony Orlando was singing, you know, to the parents, you know. And I felt similarly to, you know, to Olivia Newton-John. You know, they both had about the same impact, you know, at least in terms of the song that they sang. I also didn't understand why the song that they sang was, why that was picked. Like, okay, so Olivia Newton-John was supposed to sing Magic. You have to believe this is Magic.
Yep, and she
did. And Tony Orlando sang Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree, right?
Yep, that's correct. Yes, yes, yes. Well, you know,
so why did he pick those songs?
Okay, well, Magic, that actually worked out in Lisa's benefit, because Magic, Universal, enjoying the magic of going to Universal, like that's what the Universal people, they put that together. They went ahead and said, oh,
I remember that. Do remember that, but I still thought that was a stretch, but that's fine.
I didn't.
How do you get Tony Orlando?
Well, listen, I'll tell you what. When she was there, she was singing about it. It didn't occur to me until later on. And then the Universal people, and then we heard what the Universal people thought. And I thought, oh yeah, okay, I can see that. Sure, why not? Tony Orlando and Tie Yellow Ribbon? I have no effing idea. I'm guessing it's his most recognizable song, so that's what he did. That's why we didn't get
Okay, but
three
it's
times.
A song about a guy that's been in prison.
I know! You're correct. Everybody else, for some reason, thinks it's a... Why do people tie yellow ribbons because of veterans that you want to come home? I know. It's one of those things. I don't get it. They brought him over. He said, all right, well, listen. He went through his Rolodex of the five songs that everybody knows by him. And he said, well, I'm not going to sing, you know, Candida. All right. So, all right. Look, no knock three. All right. You know, it's
Knock
Tie Yellow
three Ribbon. Times, Danny.
Yes?
Knock three times on that ceiling.
I would have loved it. I would have. Honestly, that's the song that I want if I see Tony later. That's the one.
You know why they didn't do that one? Because they couldn't get the sound effect of the guy hitting the pipe.
The pipe?
Because, you know, the third grade music teacher didn't have that pipe handy.
Teak, teak. I don't have that sound effect.
Yes.
I wish I had thought of it.
So do I.
All right, so yes. So he pulls Tony Orlando out of his hat, and he's excited about it.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, you're excited about it because you're 71 years old. That's why you're excited about this. But nobody else is going to be excited.
Age.
That's fine.
Right.
Now, they also went ahead at this moment, and I know we kind of already touched on this, but Lisa has the fundraising worries at this point. Like, she's pulling
and
in.
And they bring it up again.
Yes.
That's an edit. That is totally an edit to throw us off, because they did this to us last week when they said, how much do you think Geraldo could raise? Oh, three or four? Oh, yeah, three or four. And in this episode, they said $500,000.
Yes. Yes, they kept thinking.
He actually said $500,000.
And I remember, I'm thinking to myself, he hasn't raised that much before, and I don't see anything coming out of him during this task. I've barely seen him doing anything.
I think when you get to the final task, you're sort of gassed.
Yeah.
Like, I think the first time you go as a project manager, that's probably your best effort.
Yes.
You know, and if you're still pretty good, maybe you can come close to that. But if you, once you get here, I don't know what you have left.
Yeah, I know they're trying to create the drama for us, but it wasn't fooling me. I wasn't buying it for one second. I had already seen Lisa pull up six figures last week. I saw her pull up six figures this week again.
Right.
And to me, it was, okay, this is done. Like, in my mind, it was done.
Didn't she have one sponsor that brought in $120,000?
Yes.
$120,000?
Yes. You had one that brought in $120,000, something like that. Or
one, right off the bat.
Yes.
Geraldo, in fact, that might be, you know what? I wonder if there's a way to look that up. I'd like to know if that's the biggest donation of all time. It has to be, right?
I don't know. I don't know, because what's his name? The guy from American Choppers, I think, had like one person donate and donated like $500,000 or something like that. You don't remember that week, and I wish I could remember his name. You know what I'm talking about, though, right? From America.
I do.
Right.
Yeah.
So that week, that guy told everybody, look, I'm going to pull in all the money. Don't do anything. And nobody called. And they were all sitting around thinking, gee, I have no idea. Is this going to work out? We don't know. And then, you know, and then they read it off, and he had like $500,000 or something ridiculous. And I think it all came
from one
person. Yeah. So that would probably be your record.
His name was Paul.
Yes. Oh, God, I can't remember his last name.
He has huge biceps.
Yes, he does. And a very nice mustache.
I think he was on the same season as it's Paul Tuttle. And I think, was he on the same season as
Paul Tuttle? Good job.
The season with David Cassidy? I think he might have been.
Oh, I think you're right. Oh,
because I remember him. You know, so there's one guy with the huge biceps, and then there's Kinsenko. That's sort of what I remember.
Oh, please bring... Only you and I talk about David Cassidy as much. Please bring him back. Good God. All right, so anyway...
Bring Kinsenko back.
Oh, please. I really want... You know how they had the All-Star season, which is nonsense because there's a bunch of people who didn't win. But I want, like, the worst of Celebrity Apprentice. Give me all of the worst people that they've had and put that on.
Well, you know what? We should talk about, whenever you're ready to, we should talk about the fact that it's coming back.
Yes.
You know, and then, because I have some thoughts about that. But let's just, like, move through here because we still have some more stuff to unpack.
All right, well, I want to talk about how at that moment we cut back to Trump, who's hosting this thing. And I have to say, Trump is an absolute... He is a terrible host. Every year I watch this, it always seems awkward. Cute applause for people sitting in an audience watching clips on a giant television. And he talks about how everything is wonderful. And this is great because this moment we cut to him and he starts bringing everybody back out, right? And so he brings out, all right, so I want to bring out the first batch of celebrities. They all, you know, they raised a lot of money. They all did wonderful. And it's so funny to me because it's people who raised nothing. People who lost right away, raised nothing, and didn't do wonderful. And the first person he brings out...
And they're all the people. Here's what you need to know,
yes.
Audience. They're just the people that are at the bottom of the power rankings.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
They almost came in the same order that they finished.
You know what is... Oh, my God. You know what's so funny is that I actually thought that as they were walking out. I thought, this is the bottom of the power rankings. I swear that thought popped into my head.
I thought about it too. But it wasn't that way. But it was really kind of close.
Yeah, it was. All right. So the first person he pulls out is Keisha Knight Pulliam. But he doesn't...
Wait. How do you pronounce that name?
Well, I would pronounce it Keisha Knight Pulliam. But you know what? If you are a super educated millionaire like Donald Trump, you might say...
America's sweetheart and television icon, Keisha Knight Pulliam.
What the hell did he say?
As soon as he said her name, Keisha, I thought, oh, wait a minute. Like, my ears pricked up. Wait a second. What's going on here? But then he got to the last name, and then that was it. You know, he got halfway through Pulliam and just gave up. Palia Hua Ha Ha Ha.
America's sweetheart and television icon, Keisha Knight Palia Hua Ha Ha.
Palia Hua Ha Ha. Oh, my God. Now, you know, it's funny because we had...
How do you butcher it? That is the all-time butchering of butcherings, right?
Oh, it's about as good as it gets, or as bad as it gets. It's so good. I mean, keep in mind, this is the same episode in which, during the Universal presentation, Geraldo Rivera refers to Ian as...
Ian Zierling.
Ian Zierling instead of Ian Ziering.
That was hilarious, but there's a bit of a difference there. Like, Geraldo was thrust, you know, that Ian was sort of thrust upon him and he didn't want him around and he wasn't responsible for him. But Trump, you know, he's got to know this is his girl. And in fact, he even called her America's sweetheart.
Yeah.
Well, if she truly was America's sweetheart, he probably would know how to say her freaking name.
What is that nonsense with America's sweetheart? It was the last time we had an America's sweetheart. Was it Sandra Dee? Who's America's sweetheart? That's nonsense. What are you
Sandra
talking
about? Who in the... I, You know what? If anybody in the audience actually knows who Sandra Dee is, I want a tweet to the Radio Dan Show. I like on or a post on our Facebook group. Sandra Dee. I want to know if anybody knows that.
All right, listen.
Amazing.
I told you I was going to come up.
Bad.
I was going to come up with a mustier reference than Ralph Mouth, and I did. Okay. Sandra Dee was America's frickin' sweetheart in 1959. So I don't want to hear about it. Gosh darn it. Known fact. I don't know. Was Meg Ryan America's sweetheart? Is that a little better? She kind of falls into that category, right? That's only 20 years ago. I'm going. That's not so bad.
I think she was Billy Crystal's sweetheart. But anyway.
Yeah.
Here when he's introducing everybody else.
Yeah.
Here's the one where my jaw dropped a little bit. Kenya showed up. What the hell is Kenya doing showing up? She's got to know this is not going to be good for her, right?
Listen, no. This is exactly what Kenya Moore is all about, is showing up at places like this and looking for attention. I am sure that this is exactly the kind of thing that she's all about. She's already had her ass beat at the Housewives reunion, which I've seen, and I know you've seen it as well. So this is right up her alley. She knows. And in fact, she probably feels a little more secure that there's going to be no physical altercation this time around. I think she's all about
it. Yeah, probably does. She probably does. Portia's not there to run her over.
Exactly. You
know.
Yes.
She just knows. But she still has to know that she's going to be embarrassed. But she doesn't care. She just doesn't care, which is exactly what she showed. She played it up. You know, she pretended that she was going to pull out a phone. And Danny, when she did that, when Trump said, "So Kenya, did you really steal the phone?" And she reaches behind her back and she pulls out a phone. Did you wonder for a second if she was actually admitting it?
Oh my God. You did?
Oh, I was like, no, she's not.
I thought the exact, I was like, oh my God. Is she pulling out the phone right now? Yes. I bought that dumb thing, hook, line. And then I felt stupid right after when she said, "Nope, it's just mine." I felt dumb. I was like, oh, man, I can't believe I fell for that. I felt shame immediately.
Here's what I wish that Vivica would have done better is that she would have said, instead of getting lost in the whole, you know, pointing, you know, fingers at her and stuff like that, just say, "Well, then fine. If you didn't steal my phone, then how did that tweet get there? And how are you the only person that referenced it?" Because that's why it seems so obvious that it had to be Kenya. So Kenya got her phone. Kenya was able to tweet something. And then pretty quickly, you know, within hours, 8 hours later, 12 hours later, whatever it is, maybe it's even the next day, but still very close to be able to reference that she saw a tweet that is there. That is something that Vivica A. Fox would never tweet in a million years.
All right.
That's the thing. It's the tweeting. And, like, I just wish that Vivica would have hammered that better.
Okay.
It's unnecessary.
Listen, there's a couple of things about this. First of all, when they played the audio, when they showed the video of the when they were rehashing PhoneGate, right? And they're showing the video, right? And I distinctly noticed this, is that Vivica calls her a dirty bird. Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Because, listen, I got right here.
See, that's a dirty-ass bitch right there.
I've got that. That's the drop I have.
Yes.
Yeah, and all of a sudden that became dirty bird. And then the other thing I got to tell you is that I saw, I want to say a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, it was at least a couple of weeks ago, and I think it was before maybe even the season started, but I noticed it right after PhoneGate. There's a clip of Trump going on Wendy Williams to promote Celebrity Apprentice, and he says, "Yeah, Kenya took the phone." He says it right there. And so then when he presses her again on live television, "Well, so go ahead. Did you steal the phone?" And she says, "No." He says, "Well, you know what? I believe you." What did you?
I don't know.
Yeah, go ahead. You don't know what?
Well, I guess I don't remember that part of it.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean tonight?
Tonight, yes. Tonight. He asked her.
He let her off the hook.
Yes, exactly. She said no, and he said, "Well, you know, yeah, you know, I believe you. You sound like you're telling the truth to me." I couldn't believe yeah. it. It's like, oh, you're...
Now I understand you better. I thought you meant that he went on the Wendy Williams show and said that. No. No, yes, he totally caved and said, you know what? I don't want to make enemies. I just want to have fun. And he blew the opportunity because it would have worked. Because the way he works is like he can rip people all day long and like still say you're great. And he could have done it right there and said, listen, I don't believe you anyway, Kenya, but I still think you're great. Like, he could have done that, right?
Yes.
That would have been, like, no big deal for him, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Or, you know, he could have said,
I don't believe you. America doesn't believe you. But you know what? I think you're great.
That would have been fantastic because it would make no sense. It would just be like, what are you talking about? That would be hilarious. Right. I wish he had done right. that. Or he could have at least even yes. been ambiguous and say, well, you know, I don't know, Kenya. It sure looks that way. He didn't even have to be definitive about it. But, you know, to me, I felt like, wow, you turned into a real wimp at that point, Trump. You really did.
Okay, so at this point of the show, now that they've done PhoneGate, I'm starting to wonder, like, what's left? Because it's like 8:45-ish, you know, and I believe it's supposed to be a two-hour show, and I'm getting nervous because, like, there's not a lot left that's interesting. Were you starting to feel that way?
Oh my God! Yeah, there is a point at not. I'll tell you what. 9:15. I'm looking at the clock and I'm like, "All right, we've done everything. We already know that that Lisa wins the she won the last task. That she won the commercial. They liked her commercial better. And we also know that she won the fundraising as well. That was revealed. 146 to 324,000. And again, it was not close like we thought it was going to be. Like, I knew this was not going to be close. You knew it was not going to be close. So,
I still thought maybe because, you know, I didn't like Lisa's. I keep going back to the same thing is that, I didn't like her. I just didn't like her thing. I don't think I didn't like. Olivia Newton-John, and I hate to say it that way, but I didn't like what Olivia Newton-John did, and I thought at least Geraldo, he actually had a very, very powerful moment with Tony Orlando coming in, right? Like, he literally
yes.
brought Geraldo to tears, and I think
yes.
those tears were not alligator, I think they were serious. Would you not agree?
All right, the one thing about Tony Orlando that paid off was that presentation
yeah, right.
when Orlando went up there and he started talking from the heart about his own sister and about how he
yep.
feels a debt of gratitude to Geraldo for the charity work that
right.
he has done. Whoa, it totally resonated. And it's funny because at first I was totally mocky of the Tony Orlando, and then I was, oh,
right.
you know
right.
what?
Then you're like,
whoa.
Okay.
I feel something inside. There's something inside that, oh my God, I can't believe that. So you're right. You're correct. But he ended up losing partly because of the presentation, and it was partly because of things like,
I am zeroing.
Like, they didn't like that went on. They felt that was a little disjointed,
well,
and it was a little awkward.
Don't forget, he also introduced Lorenzo Lamas with the wrong show.
He did. He called it the Revenger. And it was Renegade.
Revenger.
Yeah, and you know what's funny about it is that when Trump brought it up in the boardroom to like,
yes,
yeah, you know,
yes.
he says, yeah, you know, he got the name of your movie wrong. And Lorenzo, because the Renegade is a television show and it's not a movie, didn't understand what he was talking about. It took like there was a little bit of confusion, and I knew it immediately. I was like, you know what, Trump, you're an idiot because you're calling it a movie instead of a TV show.
Right. Everything got screwed up there. You know, so this is Trump bringing all of these people in, thinking he knows them pretty well and doesn't know them enough. And, you know, to be fair, I don't know Lorenzo Lamas.
Well, yeah, but you're not hiring him. Yeah, but you're not hiring him for a television show.
Exactly.
You know,
my point.
Yeah, you could do a little bit of homework. I'll tell you, when Dee Snider was on, when he was done. I remember him saying, I'm pretty sure Donald Trump had no idea who I was. Had no idea who I was. That was the impression.
He said that?
Yes, Dee Snider said that. Correct.
I wouldn't. Well, you know what? I'll give Dee this much credit, though. I'll say that Trump probably knew the band, Twisted Sister. He may not have known which one he was. You know?
Well, he was the...
I'm a,
Is there anybody else that you would know in Twisted Sister other than Dee
Snider? Well, I'm just saying, like, you just know that there was this band that had two hit songs, you know, in 1987 or whatever it was, right?
Sure.
But you did not know the name of either guy, you know. What, three guys? Was it three guys?
I have, look, dude, I don't know how many people were in Twisted Sister. There was Dee Snider who wore a bunch of makeup, and then there was other dudes who played instruments behind him. That's what I know.
But you see my point. Like, I think it would be easy to, like, you know, just, like, throw that off. It's like, dude, here's, like, the latest, you know, hit band that, boy, they're not even a band or whatever they were, you know, crazy rock guys back then. At least they seemed crazy back then. you know, they had this one crazy song. I think they had two. Did they have two hits?
Yeah,
they
had two hits. Listen, here's what we know about Twisted Sister. They weren't going to take it anymore. And that they wanted to rock. These were the two things that we knew about them.
And
that
what?
And that they wanted to rock. That's what they wanted to do. This was it. They wanted to rock, but they weren't going to take it anymore as well. So please keep that in mind. So really, basically, they should just had a song that was, everyone just get out of the way. Just get out of our way. That's what should have been their third song.
You know, and Dee Snider is a guy that he worked his way into the show because he actually was on one season, like, as a person that, I don't know, Debbie Gibson or somebody went to for help on something, and then came back as an actual contestant.
Oh,
I think he's the only person ever to do that.
Huh. I hadn't even thought of that. I think you're right.
He appeared on two different seasons, right?
Yes,
so
yes.
That's how he got warmed up. Like, he got warmed up, and so he you know, he knew what he was walking into. You know, and he was great in both cases. I think there was someone else that actually appeared like that too, now that I think about it.
All right.
I can't remember who it was. But yeah, Dee Snider was brought in to help Debbie Gibson do something, I believe. And then the next season he was on as a full fledged contestant.
Alright, so let me ask you about this. All right. So Trump has everybody back on the stage. The phone gate thing doesn't amount to anything. The one thing that is highly amusing though is Trump is asking Gilbert Gottfried his opinions about things every so often.
I hated everything about Gilbert Gottfried today.
Oh, is that right? Here's what I will tell you. If I'm doing a live television show, I am not asking Gilbert Gottfried questions on live television.
Oh, that's a very good idea. Actually, I didn't even think about that.
Oh my God!
You make a powerful, powerful point. Don't go there.
No, you don't go. You don't know what's going to happen. The FCC is going to have to descend from the rafters to censor what could potentially be coming out of that guy's mouth.
That is like going back to the dynamite that you lit, but you're not sure if it's going to like explode in your face.
Exactly. And you know what's funny? Because no one's thinking about this, but when they code a break, it's an Aflac commercial. Which he was.
Oh, right.
He was the you know, he was the voice of the duck that would say Affleck. That was his voice until he sent out a tweet that pissed off people and they had to fire him.
Wait, why did he get fired? I knew he got fired, but why did he get fired?
He got fired. I think it was because he had tweeted a couple of jokes right after the tsunami happened over in in India. I think that was what he was joking about.
Okay.
And that's created a firestorm, and then he actually got fired.
Okay. Well, you shouldn't do that. But, you know, he doesn't know stuff like that.
Exactly. He doesn't care. Yes, he can't stop
himself. He kind of doesn't care. Yeah. He's a guy that continues to skate, you know, by being borderline or sort of over the borderline, you know. And that's fine. But, yeah, you're right. Like, it's live. But you know what? To be fair to Trump, actually, he did not. He did give Gilbert that much. He gave him almost nothing else. And
well, he learned his lesson, I think, is what happened.
Maybe.
I think once Gilbert started talking, it was like, okay, you know what? Let's rein this back in. I think that's what happened there. Now, all right, so they bring in Melissa Rivers, and they do the nice tribute to Joan.
I'll give you that. Just let me say something else just before that, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Do you remember the moment when they bring in the, is it Miss America, Miss USA? What is it that Trump does?
Oh, you know what? It was Miss Universe is who they brought in. Miss Universe and from Colombia.
Right. And so Trump, you know, talks to her a little bit right there, and, you know, it's great because she just got crying, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she says that, like, you know, she would love to come back, you know, and then Kenya gets to say something about it. I think Trump went to her.
He did.
Said, what do you think about that? Yes. And she says, oh, yeah, she's very smart and stunning. My sister.
I thought that was an interesting moment for like a second, right? Well, we've got Miss Universe here, and, you know, of course it's part of his pageant, so it's fine to go ahead and cross promote your brands right there. I'm okay with your little cross pollination, Trump. But she started talking about being on next year, and all of a sudden it got a little awkward, and I thought, all right, this conversation has gone on way too long. Just like how people are viewing our podcast right now, this has gone on way too long. And I wanted her to sit down and to be quiet and just please move on. it kind of lingered for a moment there. Did you feel that?
I did, and like, you know, and Trump actually started to say something about how he was going to, did you catch this? He actually sort of said that he was going to carefully pick the cast for next time around, but he didn't finish that sentence. Like, he stopped himself. Did you catch that?
Yeah. And he also said he wasn't gonna get into it now. He was gonna take his time. Yes, I did. And
right.
I wish that we had gotten more about that, because I'm already focused on what next season is. But all right, so when Melissa Rivers comes out, here's the thing for me. Because I had forgotten
9:20 or is it after 9:30?
It's like 9:25 or something.
Right. It's so much time.
So when she comes out, and I will tell you, she had the benefit of the fact that I hadn't really remembered how poorly or how well she did until last week. Last week, they started showing all of the clips of Melissa Rivers and Joan Rivers and all of the problems, and how when Melissa Rivers got fired, she went cuckoo bananas and made them, like, get all of her clothes right then and there. So she did not just do the, all right, I'm going to get into the elevator and go downstairs and leave quietly like everybody does. She went, I am leaving right now, and I am getting my stuff. And she's like, they show her, she's going through the hallways like a lunatic. And then they cut over to you know, Trump is still in the boardroom. Like, I guess he just lives there in the boardroom. Like, he's just sitting there with Ivanka.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he lived there tonight, didn't he?
Yes, exactly. It's just like he's just there all the time. Like, he's just perched there like an old owl or something.
Right.
So they cut to him, and he's there with, I think, Ivanka and, I guess, Don Jr. And Ivanka says, oh, that's Melissa. She's yelling right now. And, you know, he just kind of like shrugs. Oh, is she? Like, he just like puts an eyebrow.
That's what's going on.
Yeah, you can hear her. She's like yelling and making a huge scene and losing her. And I remember like, oh, that's right. I forgot I lost all respect for you a couple years ago. I forgot about that. So when she came out now, and I know it's a total respectful moment because we're talking about Joan Rivers, who has passed away, and we all want to be respectful about that. That's what popped into my head. Oh, that's right. There. Last week, I saw you once again. I was reminded of how you left like a whiny child. Did that happen to you, or you didn't even – did you even watch the clips from last week?
No.
That's why.
No, actually, you know, I meant to. We talked about that on the show that, you know, because of, you know, time constraints, I intended – to watch the first half, and then I would have seen that stuff, and I would have been reminded. That would have been helpful. However, I had an accident and deleted it, and then poof, it's gone. So I'm hearing you now. I'm going, oh yeah, that does make sense.
It sounds familiar, right? Yeah, yeah.
Right.
That is right. when Joan is, you know, threatens to walk out too, and you know she you know starts yelling at Amy Duke.
Yeah, because they were like the drama twins for a little bit there, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. All right.
Yeah.
So we have the nice Joan tribute, which was fine. We also had, for me, as I was watching, which I thought was a little funny, is that this whole thing has been so Universal Studio-centric. But the show actually was sponsored by Disney. There was a Disney commercial. And then at the end, you know, all right, so let's get to this. It's coming back next year. Do you have anything that you want to say about this episode before I ask you about next year?
I do. I want to say two things.
All right.
Okay.
Lay it on me.
The first one is when Brandy and Johnny start talking about this in the boardroom, and there are, and Brandy's like, "We all work together so well."
Oh my God!
And
yes.
Johnny says, "We did a great job."
Yes, as you know what, they did a very great job.
You know the best way to make hot dogs?
Absolutely. You know what? All
yes,
right.
Yes.
All right.
They didn't bring hot dogs back. Somebody else. You know. I mean, you know. It's fine that someone knows the secret. You know, the two of them know it together. They could have shared. And then I also thought, I think it was Ian that is talking about how someone said persistence is the key. I think Trump turned to somebody and said, so what does it take to win the Celebrity Apprentice? And then Ian said something like, persistence is the key. And I was like, okay, how many quarters on the show did we have this season?
Yeah, no kidding. Ian also had this to say about Geraldo's mispronunciation of his own name.
Gerald Dildo.
I forgot about that. Yes, that's right. Call him Gerald Dildo.
Gerald Dildo.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking he's just looking to mangle his name, but he actually says Gerald Dildo.
Gerald Dildo.
Yeah, I think he screwed up the screw-up he was trying to make. But, you know, to that point, though, I want to also say one more thing, is that I was actually impressed and surprised that both Ian and Lorenzo said awesome things about Geraldo tonight.
I think this week is one of Ian's best weeks. Like, he came across pretty good. You know, a lot of times I've not liked him, but I totally liked him throughout this episode. He was helpful when it was when they were doing the task.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
He said all the right things that you would want a teammate to say about you. Even in the end, he said, "Yeah, it should be Geraldo," which I was surprised.
He did.
Yes,
I was
shocked.
And you know what? And because of what we saw in the end, this is why I have a slight problem with Lisa winning it. As much as I've been her biggest supporter, I feel like that the people that were on Geraldo's team worked harder for Geraldo, and they believed in him more than Lisa's team did, where the other two people just bailed. And they're like, they were just playing roles when they got into the boardroom. Oh, yeah, I'm going to stick up for Brandy. Oh, yeah, Brandy should win. Yeah. Or who do you think should win, Johnny? Oh, it should be Brandy. You can't ask Johnny and have him say it's going to be fucking Geraldo, right? Like, that's just not going to happen, right?
Right. Yeah, no, there's no way he's going to pick Geraldo. It will not happen, yes.
Right, right, right. So I thought that was dumb. And, you know, I thought that those were important pieces for Geraldo. And I thought, well, maybe Geraldo has more of a chance. But coming into tonight, I thought Geraldo had no chance. But then I started thinking about it, like, maybe he does, but in the end, it was Lisa. And look, Lisa won, and I feel like she took the thing from wire to wire, you know, from day one to day, what's today? Well, it's hard to know because they doubled it up. 15?
Right. I think it's day 14, something like that. Yeah.
14? Right, right. Yeah. She owned it. I do think she is the most dominant winner in Celebrity Apprentice history. And I also think that you and I should discuss, possibly doing a broadcast about comparing all of the previous
oh my God.
seven winners.
All right, well,
and see where they rank.
There will have to be some research involved before we can go ahead and do that, because I have to refresh memories. I'm not a Celebrity Apprentice historian, but yeah, I will totally be down for that. Here's what I would love to have seen in the final task, right? Because both Geraldo and Lisa did do very well with their presentations, with their commercials. You know, nobody went up and laid an egg, right? But here's what I want you to imagine. Just imagine that you go up there for the Universal people and you give them the equivalent of
baby wants buns.
Like, you go ahead and you toss out something that horrendous. I would love to, I know this just sounds terrible, but I would love to see that in the finale. Just the looks on their faces.
Baby wants buns.
As you know, just like the King Hawaiian bread people.
Yeah.
That would be so wonderful. But who would you want on Celebrity? Is there anybody that you could think of that you would like to see on Celebrity? Don't give me people that will not be on there. Don't tell me, you know, I want to see George Clooney on there. Because, you know, give me someone that's within reach of this show.
To be on Celebrity Apprentice 15, is that what you're asking?
Yes, that's what I'm asking. Correct.
Actually, you know what? I actually have some great ideas. I think you and I should actually do a separate podcast about that.
Oh, is that?
What do you think of that?
All right. So, you know, here's what we'll do. We'll go ahead and we'll wrap this one up now. And are you going to put together some final power rankings and we can go ahead and tie all that other stuff in?
Of course I am.
Well, all right then. And there's more show coming up because we honestly...
You think I'm going to mail this in? I'm not Gilbert Gottfried. I'm going to finish strong, baby. I will be Geraldo right to the end. Swinging that bat.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Well, you're though. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's... I appreciate that. You know, this was the season. This is the season that Trump says,
"Well, we've really reached a new low."
But yet he's so happy about it and how wonderful everything was.
I know.
He couldn't have been more proud of
of
things like
baby wants buns.
Of things like
I could care less. Bounce.
You know, things like that.
Bounce.
Yes, and one of things like
this menopause is killing me.
All of that. All of that nonsense that we've been dealing with this entire... And everyone was wonderful. Everyone was fantastic. It was a great season. Although, I got to tell you,
it
was a highly entertaining season. I watch for the train wreck. I will totally fess up. And
we both do that.
And they gave a lot of it this year. Like, there was lots of train wrecks going on all the time. I'm fine with Lisa winning. I feel that she should have won. If Geraldo had won, it would have been, again... highly entertained. Like, that just would have been so funny to me. If he had said that Geraldo had won, that would just be so freaking funny because it's so exactly the opposite of what America would want. I don't think anybody wanted Geraldo to win.
Nobody wanted Geraldo to win.
No, you're nobody right. did. Exactly. So that would have been fantastic. But do you have anything else you want to say before we say goodnight to everybody?
No, I'm all good, man. I think we have a lot of good stuff that's coming up still to finish out the season. In a couple of different podcasts that we should talk about. So we'll get the power rankings that are going to come up. We should talk about potential contestants for the next season. And I think we've got some really exciting stuff to talk about. I'm happy to do that.
All right. Very good. All right, everybody. So we will be back in a couple of days with the power rankings and just look for more stuff beyond that. Say goodnight to everybody, Joey.
Audience, you're hired.
Oh!